Good morning. It is Sunday, February 3rd, 2013. This is Weekend Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas. KUAF is supported by Penguin Ed's Barbecue, offering catering services for parties or events of any size at either your location or one of the banquet rooms at the Mission or Weddington restaurants. Various catering packages are available. PenguinEds.com for more information. Ahead on Weekend Ozarks, thanking your mail carrier, and a local dog heads to the Big Apple. But first, we've had another week with a lot of news about organizations that provide service to the community, plus repercussions of Tuesday's rapid rains. Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis has more in this week's Week in Review.
Earlier this week, we told you that Lifestyles Incorporated had received accreditation from an international review body. CARF International conducted its survey of the nonprofit over a three-day period during December, and Lifestyles Executive Director Jennifer Maynard says that CARF accreditation is a valuable asset to health and human services organizations.
CARF, since the 60s, has just raised the standard by which organizations operate, and they consistently push organizations in different areas of service to continuously look at quality improvement. And for us, it's like a good housekeeping seal of approval. It is, this is good. This is a group that for CARF, where we say this is what great looks like, this group is great.
She says that the survey process takes a lot of preparation.
You have to look at all of your policies and procedures. The standards book is in several different sections, and it looks at everything from governance to the satisfaction of the people you serve, all of your stakeholders, not just the people served, families, staff, board members, the other community at large. And so everything from detail work and committee planning and reviewing of all our policies and procedures to there were some documents we didn't have that we had never considered before that we had to get together and look at.
For example, the review made Lifestyles review its risk management policies regarding severe weather. While the policy included procedures relating to tornadoes in the area, Maynard says that the accreditation survey made the nonprofit realize that they had no policy regarding severe ice storms. Although the review scrutinizes every aspect of the organization, Maynard says that accreditation is something that Lifestyles pursued for the good of the organization, but she is unsure whether that accreditation will result in new grant or other funding opportunities.
We went through the survey process really to better ourselves. That was really the primary goal, was just looking at how high the standards were and that's what we wanted to strive for. We're not sure yet. We haven't looked into that as to whether or not there are funding sources that specifically look to CARF accreditation.
The accreditation lasts for 3 years, and Maynard says that the only other CARF-accredited area organization providing services to people with disabilities is the Elizabeth Richardson Center. In other service news this week, the Ozark Literacy Council announced that through its volunteers and staff, it taught 300 students last year, an increase of 69% over 2011. Wendy Poole is the executive director of the organization, and she says that much of the increase in students is a result of increased marketing, but she says that the growth is not without its hurdles.
We don't have a staff. This is done with 2 full-time employees and 5 part-time employees and 60 to 65 volunteers. So we need more resources to grow our student population, and actually we need more resources because our school is limited in size as well. So we're limited in resources as in hiring more ESL teachers and a bigger space.
Aside from a scarcity of resources to serve all of the students seeking English education, serving the disparate needs of both ESL and basic English learners doesn't pose any insurmountable challenges for the group.
our literacy council is a lot different than the other 40 in the state because we're so highly inundated with ESL learners. So it's not difficult for us because we've been doing it for 49 years. And in the last 3 years, we've grown so much. Now we offer 16 ESL classes. And if you are just not an ESL learner, we also have classes too, or small groups, but we also have one-on-one tutors.
Poole says that about 98% of students that the Ozark Literacy Council serves are English as a second language learners. Roughly one-third of those students is Latino, another third is Asian, and the remaining third is a mixture that includes students of European or Middle Eastern descent. Poole says that while the Ozark Literacy Council was founded with both ESL and basic literacy students in mind, the demographics of students served has skewed in line with shifts in the overall population.
In the Washington County Census, there are 15% of our population is speaking a different language than English at their home. So that is growing immensely. And actually in the state, Arkansas is ranked number 4 in immigrant population growth. So yes, those numbers are changing. Washington County just happens to have a lot larger immigrant population than the rest of the counties.
Poole says that she only envisions a greater need for the Ozark Literacy Council's services in the future, which is why they apply for numerous grants to help the organization grow. She cited a recent statistic by the Winthrop Rockefeller Foundation that found that for every dollar spent on services to immigrant households in the state, immigrants generate $7 in economic activity. Aside from service organizations, severe weather made news this past week. The storms that brought tornadoes and storm damage to parts of Washington and Crawford counties also brought significant precipitation to watersheds that feed Beaver Lake. Sean Harper is the operations manager for the Army Corps of Engineers at the lake.
Because the ground was pretty dry, a lot of this rainfall penetrated and soaked into the ground before it really started to run off a lot. But we did see that the War Eagle and the White River, I believe, came up significantly for a brief period. Those two main tributaries, along with other minor, lesser tributaries, were able to contribute some runoff. It did run off from these storms, and the lake rose pretty good, about a foot, I would think, roughly in that neighborhood. We would need several more of these types of events over the coming month or two, and even into the spring.
Although the rain only raised the lake level by about a foot, and the lake is still down by about 10 feet, Harper says that rains that raise the lake's level incrementally are preferred to larger amounts of precipitation all at once.
If we get a really, really, real big rain event that produces excessive runoff, then, of course, it high sediment loads usually associated with that. So if we can get these rains that bring the lake up a little bit of a time, that actually is probably better for water quality in Beaver Lake than if we got one big giant storm. So it was a positive event for the lake. It brought it up a little bit, which is what we're looking for.
Harper says that any time the lake is low like it currently is, boaters should use caution and slow down near potential sandbars and wear life jackets when taking to the lake. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Timothy Dennis.